Yes, I think we'll have shot myself. I think I'm not quite sure. Last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's last Tuesday. Yeah, last Tuesday. I was sitting here now at time, had time to eat. And I suddenly felt I'm on the path wind. That's not. I live on my own, so who cares, you know?
Yeah.
But I passed about a pint of blood. Oh, yeah. Fortunately, I had some rather heavy, thick trousers on. I managed to get to a toilet quick enough. And cut a long story short, I thought, well, I think I'd better bring cell doc. It's an article at night, you see. I don't want to be in an ambulance. You get a chase up there and you spend 8-10 hours in reception, ambulance there, and so on. So, it's comical. The bus goes about 10 o'clock. So I go to the door, hello, hello. Apparently, he banged the bell, then walked away.
Really?
And it took me half an hour to explain to him. It's an Nigerian doctor, very large, stout man, who appeared to know less about medicine than I do.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not being biased. I mean, you are a kind of person, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you are my equal in every respect. I was born out as a child, faithful child. I mean, there weren't many coloured people living in Berkeley when I was a child, obviously. But we come across it once or twice. And my mother said, that little boy is the same as you. He's about the same age as you. He's very unlucky. He doesn't live in a nice big house with maids and servants and all the luxuries of life. But he is the same as you.
So you know,
he has a heart, he has a lung. And I've never forgotten that. And when I went out in the Far East and went into a jungle among some very uncivilised people, very primitive people, and yet they had a wonderful reaction to other people. I mean, that saved my life so many times that I couldn't possibly count. It was a regular basis. A little Chico would come running in there at 4 or 5 years old and he'd look at me and go, Japan, Japan. That's 100. Jow, push off, you know. And we'd disappear. And 10 minutes later, 100, 200, 300, 600 Japanese walked through. Had they walked through and not been warned, we'd all been dead. And they did it on a regular basis. And they might give them away. We had several cases where they came back and annihilated the whole village.
So this case, for example, where the little boy warned you about the Japanese soldiers, how comes he knew to warn you? Had you been with them for a while? How did you get to know that little boy? How did you befriend that little boy?
Well, he had been told by his parents that anyone who wasn't Japanese was their friend. I think on that, it's a rather strange philosophy. I went into it quite deeply. I got very involved with the Muslim religion and what have you, because I've got a very, very open mind. If millions of people follow religion, it can't all be bad, it can't all be wrong. It might have been a very good religion, perhaps the bits are bad, not very good, but it's always worth getting into. I'm interested. I know quite a lot about it, quite a few foreign religions and ways of life, and some are very strange and very weird. Anyway, I come here and I called the doctor out. He came down here and examined me. He said, I will notify your medical centre. Oh, I said, thank you very much. So off he went. So I'm thinking, well, do I go to bed? Well, as I start bleeding during the night. See, I must have told it, and there's a lot of black diarrhea, and not that it's blood, black blood, but the pan itself was bright red. Mm. The bright red blood is, oh dear.
Oxygenated blood.
No, it's arterial blood, isn't it? Yeah. Arterial blood. That's right, you lose that, it's quite serious. So, to cut a long story short, I thought, well, I'll wait till the morning. I'll pack a lot of tissues in my trousers in case it happens during the night in my bed. I'll bring the surgery tomorrow. I rang for 2 hours in the morning, no answer. I rang 2 hours in the afternoon, no answer. I thought, no, well, if I go to Lewisham Hospital, I'll spend about 8 hours in A&E. I'll ring for an ambulance. They may or may not come. It's all because there's no doctor to back me. So I went down to the walk-in centre, New Cross. I managed to convince them that, well, I was genuine. So he gave me a letter and suggested I go up to Lewisham Hospital. I said, do you want an ambulance? I said, no, I'll go home. I'll drive home first and I'll pack a few things in the bag. I'll get a cab up there. So no one expected me. So I go to A&E and produce my letter and gets passed in a few hands. And that was 8 o'clock in the evening. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I was put to bed in one of the new blocks. Now, the following day, I met quite a number of different specialists and doctors and various sorts of people. I know quite a few already. I know quite a few by Christian names. As far as I can make out, but didn't know much about what it was at all. I said, "Are you interested in my interpretation?" "Oh, yes, yeah, of course we are." "That I believe it's diverticulitis." A lot of them never even heard it, just how it existed. But 40-odd years ago, I went to hospital with a bleeding, and I was told by a top specialist, they brought in specially for me, that there's no cure, there's no treatment. It may come back tomorrow, it may never come back again. So I had 4 days in the hospital. Lovely new wing. And oh, treatment, you wouldn't believe it. It's crazy.
Did they do lots of tests?
I mean, no!
Well, it sounds like you diagnosed yourself.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't have bothered going up there. I thought, well, I better go just in case I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I can be wrong, as you can gather. But the nurses there, one nurse came down the following morning, took me by the arm, went all round the ward, introduced me to all the other nurses and doctors. Senior doctors. Oh, Dr. Sanzo, this is Arthur. Apparently, all seem to know me from previous visits. You know, I've been going to hospital so many times that I can't get anywhere in hospital without someone saying, "Hello!" This was nice. And I'm there arm in arm with this pretty young nurse, making eyes at all the doctors. One walked by and I went to follow. I said, "Oh, no, naughty down, bro, but this way, come on." And oh, they made a big fuss of me, fed me well, looked after me. And Miss Dr. Command said, "We're going to send you home today." I said, "No, I'm not going home today. I want time to settle, to ensure that I don't start bleeding again."
Yeah.
"Oh. Yeah, yeah, okay, right, you know. I'm surprised that, because I want to get you out." But I have a way with me with these people. If you speak in it authoritatively, as though you know it all, the answers, and you're Lord God Almighty, sort of thing, I'm inclined to be like that sometimes. Instead of overruling me, I'll stay another 2 days.
But what happened to the doctor? So the doctor that came here.
Yeah. I mean, no, never saw me again, never had any problem, never had nothing in my health centre.
So it's as though he didn't actually pass the message on properly?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you can read English.
Well, I'm sure they would. I mean, you wouldn't get the job, but I think sometimes mistakes do happen, or maybe he misdiagnosed.
Someone never heard of a panel where you press buttons and speak to people and open doors with buttons. I would have thought a doctor going out on call could hardly miss not coming across it somewhere. There are a great member of people now that, wherever I go, I come across it. I was right across the other side of the road. They go at 29 bells. 29 bloody bells. No names.
No.
So I get if good I think
good thing you didn't live in that block.
So I go over there and I press on, I press all the buttons. And then come back over here.
Well, even when you don't need to go and call anybody.
Oh. No, I sit in my car in the front garden, there's about 20 people in the front garden all waving along that. Well, if I can't be bothered putting the bloody names up there, how do I contact anybody?
Is that the big house around the corner
facing us. It's a squat.
Oh, number 68?
Yeah.
Oh, it's still a squat now, is it?
Well, I don't mean that for sure. I'd say it was, because there's so many numbers. You've got 10 bills all wires hanging down, you're not going to get electrocuted or what?
That's maybe why they don't put their names. They don't want to be incognito.
But they're not that. They're not particularly antisocial there, though, are they?
Are they noisy?
Oh, they are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I've got nothing against them. I don't hear them down here. You dropped the bomb in my garden. I doubt I'd hear it. I'm a great believer in live and let live. I forget why I went over there, some sort of problem cropping up with the parking side and gate. Couldn't get in the gate. I do feel a little bit antisocial. The parking by an island, right next to an island, so people can't get through, and run across my gate.
Oh, okay.
And that to me is a bit naughty, you know. I recognise the car. I can identify 50-100 cars around the part of the world, and all the owners.
But so just to come back though, so you are now, you're finally at your hospital visit then, they decided, they felt that you were all right and you felt all right in yourself, yeah. And that's why
when
you're
I,
back
when I agree with them, I say yes, I come home, yeah.
What day did you come home?
Sunday.
When was the doctor? Oh, the doctor strike was this week.
No, it was the week before. Were you around there when the junior doctors went on strike then? But that was A&E.
No, I was in A&E. It doesn't bother me. I just go in there and demand attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were consultants manning
it. Absolutely.
That was the thing,
yeah.
Though.
I think you seem as though you were there.
After being around a couple of men, I had nothing to drink, nothing to eat. I raised my voice. You'll hear me in Lewisham. I used to be a drill sergeant, and I had to drill men on a playground with tanks going across the ground.
Well, that's this guy here, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Is that the kind of role that you...
More or less, no. Yeah.
Well, he was the sergeant major, wasn't he? But you know, his job was to keep all the squaddies in line, all the hapless,
There's many ways of doing it. First, you've got to earn their trust. They've got to believe in you, because after all their lives, as you're a silly bug, like some of them were, they just like the officer came out, a young one pipper. We had a camp, and one of our camps are quite close to the edge of the jungle. See, line is all up. Bad fun. Creak. Mark. And off he went. When he looked around, there was no one behind him. We were all in the jungle. You don't march in a bloody jungle. So when he came back, he said to me, what happened there, Sergeant? I said, well, you made a bit of a bloody fool of yourself. You didn't speak to us in those days. That made no difference to me. I'm didn't know anybody else. And you don't march to the jungle. You walk through the jungle, never in groups, always spread out. One grenade can kill 50 people, or kill 20 and injure 50 others. Mm. I mean, and you have to learn quick. Mm. You can't go there and say, I've had a few months and I'll learn all a bit. You have to grow up. Mm. I went out as a schoolboy.
I was going to say, where did you get your training and the knowledge?
Well, I didn't. I'm a survivor. I've no intention of being killed by the Japanese, if I could help it. I've no intention of getting all my men killed either. Mm. And after only a few days, I noticed they kept behind and listened. Now, every now and then I'd stop them and say, now, there's a tree up there. Can you see that tree? He said, there's a footpath. Maybe quite a small footpath. Right in the middle of the big tree. Just in front of the tree, the earth has been disturbed. A mine, I said, no. The worst thing to do is look upon the Japanese being stupid. They're violent, they're cruel, they're belligerent, they're wicked, but I still hate them to this day. That's beside the point. They're not stupid. They've been in the jungle for 8 or 10 years before we got there. So they weren't learning, we were learning. So if earth disturbed there, I mean, if there is a mine, it's each side of a tree. But which side? So me and my buddy went up with bandits. And we found the mine. There's two mines, one inside. One exploded if you cut the wire, and one exploded if you pulled the wire. Mm. I mean, you're treading on very dangerous ground, So what you do, you get a bit of string, long bit of string, get well back and give it a pull, and blood the other.
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, it's difficult for people like us, really, to relate to all these tales.
I volunteer for fire watching. I'm on top of a 5-story building in Shepherd's Bush with a bucket, a sand, and a shovel. I pick it up with these tongs, put it in the bucket, and put sand in there. Then someone told me they're now putting explosives in these fire bombs. So I resigned.
So, how did you get from fire watching to being in the jungle? Can you tell us about that? How?
One of the sort of things. I've always put my age up all the time. When I was 14 or 15 to do war, when I was 15, I did 16 do fire watching. The adventure, I put my age up to 17 when I was 16 and joined the army.
That's because this was by then during the war, wasn't it?
That's right, yes, 1942 when I was 16. The official age was 70, I'd be 17. But because they're so desperate for men, I didn't check too carefully. I looked, I've got being strong, 81 plus, first class eyesight and everything. I was a fine specimen of a young man. That's going back a bit. Then I joined the army. Broke my father's heart, because I had to give up my Swiss nationality, which I didn't realise, you see. I normally went into things much more. So I went into a bit of a ball and china shop, you know. Went up there and joined up and found out I had to surrender my Swiss passport.
The Swiss passport? That's because of your parents, your father was
I had a dual passport, yeah. I used to have a triple passport one time, very, very small. But they gradually drilled, and after a while I had to dwindle away. I think my father forgave me, eventually. But
sorry, what was that?
I think my father forgave me. But you see, you're young and you're impulsive. And I was born in the country. I love the country. I think it's a wonderful country. I think one of the finest countries in the world. Being ruined all the time by stupid, greedy people who wouldn't get 9 out of 5,000 in an examination, I don't think. Who was the other day? Education Minister. He got a question wrong for 4 and 9.
Well, it was a question about grammar, wasn't it, that they put to him? This was, people have been complaining about the tests for the youngsters.
The stats. Wow, I've not heard this.
Yeah, well, they said, I think the question was something like, we take consider a sentence, and then they said, and what does the, and in that sentence is the word after. Is it either a this or a that? And the education minister said, well, clearly it's a that.
The education minister got it wrong.
And then they said, well, actually, that's quite interesting because it's the wrong answer.
In a bloody state. And trying to turn them all into academies.
Well, 9-year-old.
They're doing stupid things. They're taking children 3, 4, and 5 and giving them quite specific, almost scientific examinations. I mean, these kids are just as babes.
Mm. Yeah, test the teachers, if anything. And the education minister, not the kids.
Mm. I mean, I get dragged into lots of things I do. Be over 60s. Last year, I got a letter from the Christina, who is the organiser of it. And she said, would you be prepared to come down for 3 hours, a couple of days running? We have a group of young people, young ladies, young men, 16, 18, that's their age, during a teenage, who are very clever, very intelligent, well-educated, but can't mix with people. There's a special name for it. I can't remember what it was now, but it's with themselves, with people, with their own people. But once they get into
Asperger's, is it Asperger's?
Are they, something like that, but it's a little more, technical and involved. Mm. So I went down to Oliver Estate. There, I got a place there belonging to the council. I bowled in there with about 20 of these people there. And after about half an hour, I'm walking around talking to all of them. And Christina came and said, I haven't done something for you for bloody weeks. And they said hello, goodbye to me. I said, well, you've got to put the right words to the right people, haven't you? You don't go and ask them questions, you just chat. Mm. That's out of interest, and I like that. Tell yours. I wonder what it is. Have you any idea? And then you give me. Look. It's a second class, blah, 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 whatever, you know. That's fine. Nice, I'm going to keep an eye on that. I might be able to win that later on. And gradually, by then, tell you all. And anyone mind me taking a photo? They're not happy about that, you know. No, not you. don't damage my camera. I think this little guy out the back, I don't know, I think there's a photograph out there. So I strolled out there and I could learn my camera, take a few photographs. And then I got behind me and said, that's a nice camera. And then he wants to see the photos. I put out a batch of photos I took with me. Oh, come and look at these. And there were a picture of young people, male and female, of a similar disposition. I was thinking, but you know, after these people here. And I've got these people all around me. I can't move for them. And, you know, it's quite amazing. And these are people who don't speak to anybody, and yet they are, they've got very high educational standards. I mean, very high, what do they call that thing now?
Mensa, the intelligence
test. Yes. Probably all in Mensa, yes. You know.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know if I've been in Mensa, but I don't think I'd be far short. I surprised myself under what I know.
Yeah, they sound as though you're talking about young people who are autistic.
It's a very interesting experience. Yes. I get lots of different organisations that come to me and say, oh, you've been married a long time, Arthur. Well, yeah, the police came out the other day. Roving policeman. Just rang the bell, you know. He said, the police? I said, not guilty. So I then let him in. I went out to see what it was all about. He said, we're just picking address at random. And having a sort of general check. We'd learn something more about the people and the nature and neighbourhood and what have you by talking to people without pre-arrangement, as well by roping people out and taking them to the police station and asking them questions, you know. I said, well, I'm coming. You want to be my guest? He didn't last further. And then he tells me, I'm going to be there about 5 minutes, but you've been there nearly an hour. Mm. And I said, well, I remember the police of the old days. You had to be a minimum of 6 feet high.
Mm.
6 feet. And you know, you've been skinned, you had to be with it. Mm. If you were 6 feet, you were built like a bloody house.
Because there is no height limit now, is there?
I've seen some of the young ladies, young men.
Yeah.
One band did with fight the life, all of them, I think. How can you have a young girl about 14, or not 14, on the police beat? I'm not being anti-women. I mean, she's not equipped.
Well, I think they've got, I mean, they wouldn't be able to go out on their own, and you'd be surprised. I think they do train them up a bit, but presumably they're not. They probably perhaps don't have the sheer physical strength.
On these murder mysteries, that sort of thing. But there's been 14 women murdered. This woman goes into this old ruined castle on her own. No torch, no gun, no radio.
But that's where, unfortunately, that's where the television stories diverge from reality, because clearly in the real world they wouldn't do that. Yeah. But it doesn't make
I do appreciate that, but it does give a very bad...
Yeah.
So many people say, oh, I wouldn't trust the baby, please, mate. They couldn't find a way out of the bloody paper bag.
You know, before you were saying that your mum said to you when you saw a young black boy who was your age, and she said about, look, he's the same as you... Were there times when you were growing up where you saw sort of blacks or Asians or, you know, or was broccoli very...
But you see, this is the problem. Back in the 20s, if you lived in this road and a black person tried to walk up this road, or a scallywag or, you know, a yobbo or whatever, he wouldn't get up because the police would move him on. It's out of bounds. This was the Park Lane of South London. And to live here, you had to have a lot of money, a house, servants. I've got a map over there on my cupboard there of 18-something, which would be quite illegal today, warning you about keep away from Deptford. All the niggers down there, and the blacks, and the Lascars, and the people there, and they do well, and the drunkards. I mean, this is a map, actually. My boat here is in colour. This is where the well-to-do people live. Mm. Where the black people and the yellow people and so on aren't welcome. Mm. The police don't have much time for them. They've had their way to shoot more, so that's the attitude, you know. And I mean, that's quite official. Mm. I got that because I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody in police records. I told a woman to drive 40-odd years ago, because I used to be the unofficial driving instructor for the local police station.
So, but it's quite interesting, though, isn't it, that thing about that Wickham Road and Broccoli perhaps being that sort of quite sort of upmarket, where Deptford and the docks and the river would have had all the people from all around the world. Really, like a very kind of multicultural.
I was fascinated by all different colours and the shapes and sizes.
So did you ever mix with... So in these areas, these streets, there were no people of colour?
No.
When did you encounter a first black or Asian or
neighbour? That's a hard question, because I went to a private school in Sydney Road. There's, I think it's 8 teachers and about 20 children. That's a good percentage. So when I left there at 10 years old, I could write my name, I could count. I did not think the children of 4 or 5 years my superior in age could do. So I had a good start in life. But I went to Coventry Grammar School. Every pupil at Coventry Grammar School goes in Form 2, that's the lowest form. Well, after the first year, then you're reallocated. And I went from lower 2 to upper 4. So it's all through 1, 2, 3, 4, upper 1, 2, 3, 4, and 2, 3, 4, and then 3, 3, 4. So I jumped about 8 or 10 classes. So the boys I was with were young men. I was about 10 or 11. And these were young men of 15 and 16. But I could hold my own against them.
So do you think that... Sorry, I'm just diverting a bit. Because of that, do you think that that's what made you want to join the army? Because if you were these older boys who were they at a stage where they were talking about going off to fight, and then that is that what made you...
Oh, to a certain degree, but I've always been very... very much a royalist. Our people have been stupid. They moan about the royal family, and they cost £10 million a year and that sort of thing. But if it's under the Queen as a new bride in the family or a new baby, the country earns hundreds of millions of pounds. All the people come in and want to see. And as you've seen lately, I mean, the paper's been full of it. I've done some marvellous work. Much better than it used to be. A lady died when I started that because they were a bit too, you know, we are the King and Queen. Now, I mean, the Queen is, oh, no, she's a wonderful lady. I mean, she's 90. And she does more than a day's work most people do in a bloody month. Mm. I mean, she travels in the bloody mile. I know she does in luxury, but still, you've got to travel. And she's always at risk. Mm. Mm. I remember Prince Charles once on television said, if a bullet has my name on it, I don't care how much security you have, you're dead. That's quite true.
So that's what. So that's those sorts of feelings of quite strong patriotism. What you had as a young man.
Well, I think people don't. I don't know why. But I reason this way: a major war is usually about every 25 years. A world war. Why is that?
It's a generation.
It's the next generation to go out to early fight. And then the last lot don't want to go again. See, people don't use them. People who claim to be so clever and so intelligent with all the initial alphabet after their name and that are really a lot of wind. I can hardly go to any of those. I do quite frequently, I can assure you. I don't care where's the mayor of Lewisham. He's a personal friend of mine. I can chat to him and tell him what I think of him. You don't like it? Oh, bloody luck. I mean, everyone I spoke about down the police station there, she now works at Scotland Yard. She one rank below commissioner. That's quite an achievement of a woman, I tell you. And I ring her up, well, not very often, once in 10 years, a little chat. And the voice says, oh, she's very, very busy. I just tell her it's Arthur. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, you're through. Hello, Arthur. Nice to hear from you. How are you doing? You King of China yet? No, I'm on my way. I would have a chat for half an hour. Because when you teach someone to drive, it's a one-to-one. You'd be amazed how many cars I get a car from a young lady or a woman called Pamela. I don't know how she is. For 40 years I've been getting this card every Christmas. Dear Arthur, every time I drive, I think of you. How you changed my life. Love and best wishes, Pam. But I don't know who the bloody old Pam is. I can't send a car back. I think I've never 40 years. People come up the street. I was in Costco a few months ago, and an elderly black man came up to me and said, hello, Arthur. I said, hello. Is your name Charlie? He said, no. Oh, no. You taught me to drive. You were the man with a funny hat? No, that wasn't me. Oh. Were you the one who had a machine gun? No, I'm getting mixed up. He said, 1955. No, it's 2000. And 12, 2014, whatever. That's quite a long time ago, isn't it? You sure get a white person? So I never forget you. I know it's a long time. Mm. But my life is like that. I like that. Mm. No.